Among America's 44 presidents, only Gerald Ford, the 38th, came from Michigan. Jerry Ford's shortened tenure in office from 1974 through 1976 included fearsome challenges, soaring inflation, the confusing aftermath of the Watergate scandal, and the dispiriting conclusion of the Vietnam War. But biographer Rick Burham focuses on a time of President Ford's life far removed from the pressures of the presidency. His book is called Young Jerry Ford, Athlete and Citizen. Current state host Mark Bayshore recently spoke with the author and first asked him what inspired him to write about the Grand Rapids native.
Well, I like to write about presidents as young men because I am trying to find out what makes them tick, so to speak, how they develop their character. And I was drawn immediately to Ford because he seemed like such a natural person, because it seemed like most modern presidents have this entourage and this whole publicity machine around them, and Ford didn't seem to have that. I thought maybe I had a good chance of getting to interview him or his family and friends and find out about him.
And why do the formative years of our presidents interest you particularly?
Well, I'm trying to get behind the hype and discover what kind of people our presidents really have been. And this is not that I'm after scandals or anything like that. I'm interested in how somebody's personality forms, how he gets interested in public questions, and things like that. I think you have to go back to the time when they're young, just getting out of school and making up their minds about what they want to do. That's the period that I've focused on. I published five. Well, Gerald Ford is the fifth. I published four.
The title of your book is Young Jerry Ford, Athlete and Citizen. Let's talk about each of those two components. A lot of our listeners in particular know President Ford played football at U of M for some years. What more should we know about Jerry Ford's sports activities?
Well, many people who knew him called him a natural athlete. It wasn't just football. In high school and early college, he was into basketball, surprisingly enough. Hmm. He played on the U of M team for 2 years. He played in his high school team for 2 years. He was, as you might expect, not too much on offense, but he was great on defense. And he was in track. Shot put and discus were his events. And he was a dedicated track participant. And surprisingly enough, he was also a swimming champ. He was on the champion YMCA swimming team in his high school senior year. So he was all around, and he loved it. He loved every sport he participated in. Golf was the only one he didn't care for at first. I think, like a lot of kids, he found it too boring. But when he finally took it up in college, it just became a passion, but as it does with so many people.
And we saw lots of photographs of Gerald Ford as president on the slopes at Vail, too.
That's
so he's
true.
Obviously an experienced skier. And when you refer to Ford as a young citizen, what are you referring to exactly?
Well, I'm trying to allude to his interest in public affairs, which came along very early. I don't mean that he grew up intending to be a politician, but I think he grew up intending to be what we call a concerned citizen, somebody who takes public affairs very seriously, and when he sees something wrong, tries to mobilize action to change it. I think he thought of himself from the beginning as a reformer.
You mentioned some of the challenges he and his mother faced very early on. I'm wondering if after he was a national figure, did President Ford resist talking about those years? Because his mother's marriage to Leslie King ended, as I recall, only about a month or so after Jerry Ford was born.
That's right.
Was he hesitant to talk about those early years because of their challenges?
Well, in some ways, it happened when he was so young that it was almost as though it happened to someone else.
Mm.
He only saw his biological father once. That was in high school, a sort of an out-of-the-blue visit where the father who had been to Detroit to pick up a new car and drive it home to Wyoming stopped by Grand Rapids to see his son. more, I think, to show off his own wealth than anything. And then in college, when Ford was hurting for money, he wrote his father, his biological father, and got no response and no help. So his feelings toward him were cool. He had no difficulty in talking about it, but basically his posture was, I don't really know much about it. His story was the one incident of when he was flipping hamburgers across from the high school and this stranger walked in and announced himself as his father.
And unlike our image of Gerald Ford in the White House or in Congress all those years, as a kid he was he had a reputation as a pretty cantankerous kid, correct?
He was the one thing that he inherited from his real father, and it just terrified his mother, was this extremely hot temper. This was why she had broken up with his father, Leslie King, because he struck her several times on their honeymoon, and he had just an uncontrollable temper. Well, Ford had the same thing. He struggled with it all his life. People, you see flashes of it coming out even in people who worked in the White House with him. But up through college years, he would get something would suddenly light his fuse, and he would strike out physically whatever was close by. In his early football years, he got thrown out of a couple of games for busting other players. He commonly fouled out at basketball. And there are just all kinds of stories. So this was something he had to struggle to control, and he did eventually. He controlled it.
We're talking with Rick Borums, author of Young Jerry Ford, Athlete and Citizen. As someone who studied Gerald Ford then, what factor in the end do you think was most important in enabling Gerald Ford to end up thriving and succeeding as an adult? What was it, his adoptive father? Was it sports? Was it his mother? If you had to choose one, which one do you think you'd choose?
If I had to choose just one, I would choose his mother, because not only did she work with him unremittingly to control that temper, but she was also very much on the job when he was a young student to teach him good study habits. And he was not a kid who would normally be attracted by school, so discipline had to be the thing that would keep him going as far as schoolwork and homework was concerned. And she provided him with that. He had excellent study habits. He had three little brothers, and he could concentrate and study in a room where all three of them were playing around. His stepfather reinforced this teaching by saying, never do anything halfway. Always do the whole job. And so he ended up with just this, number one, the ability to control his temper. Number two, just admirable study habits, which he carried into Congress and the presidency.
How influential was his experience in the Boy Scouts?
Oh, the Boy Scouts were very important to him. And this was really more satisfying to him because it wasn't his parents, because it was his peers, and also because of the Scout law, the Scout moral code, which just put into words the beliefs that his parents had been trying to teach him. He really believed that the Scouts were were certainly the most satisfying experience of his boyhood. He became an Eagle Scout after 2 years in his troop, and then came back to Scout camp like 3 years after that on the staff. And all his life, he was just proud to have been a Boy Scout.
Were you surprised at anything you learned about Jerry Ford in the process of researching your book?
You know, it's been so long; it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell what is what surprised me, because now I've pretty much assimilated it all. I think one recent thing that surprised me was I had always heard a lot about the Fords and their church membership and stuff like that, and I recently realized they were Episcopalians, and his mother, of course, had divorced and remarried, and in the belief system of the Episcopalians back when Ford was growing up, that made her a sinner and ineligible to take communion. In other words, she could attend, but she could not fully participate in the church.
Uh-huh.
Many people would have gotten upset and just taken their own marbles and said, you know, gone to another church or just given up on it at all. The Fords stuck with it. They were just loyal, I won't say members because they could not be members of the Episcopal Church, but they were loyal attenders, and religion was a big part in their life. But who would have thought that? That just surprised the heck out of me.
Did you ever meet President Ford?
I corresponded with him. I sent him a couple of chapters that I had written, and he sent back a very kind note and said he had learned a lot from reading them.
Hmm. Members of his family?
Yes, I've spoken with his surviving brother in Grand Rapids, Dick, who is just a delightful guy. He's been interviewed for a long time, needless to say. But I had about a 45-minute interview with him a few months ago.
I notice you, as you said earlier, you've written about other presidents, and several of them are presidents that we remember less often. Calvin Coolidge was one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have another book planned involving another former president?
Yeah, I have a couple that are cooking, and they are, you know, they're not about terribly prominent presidents either. Grover Cleveland is one. He was a sort of a hero to a lot of people in his own time, but he's pretty much forgotten now. I'd like to do a book on him. I'm thinking a little bit about James Monroe, but I'll tell you why I don't do the Kennedys or the Lincolns, and that is that there are so many able people doing them already. I think the biggest contribution I can make is by digging up new stuff and putting it together so that we understand other people as well as we do the great ones.
Rick Borums is the author of Young Jerry Ford, Athlete and Citizen. Rick Borums, a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mark.
And for Current State, I'm Mark Bayshore.